is a Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Coming up on today's show, Taylor Charlstrom has the Walnut Wednesday report, where he talks with California Walnut Commission's Claire Lee about foreign opportunities and competition. Vicki Boyd will be in with a report on the impacts of drought on some aerial applicators in the state, and I'll have national and regional agricultural news coming your way. We start off with regional ag news right after this.
Unsure of your naval orange worm program? No worries now with Rango, a proven solution to protect your orchard and hull split from naval orange worm. Rango is an OMRI-listed, broad-spectrum biopesticide with no known resistance, making it an excellent rotation and tank mix partner for both conventional and organic growers. Partner with Rango today. Contact your PCA, local dealer, or visit rangonow.com. Rango, no worries now.
In regional agricultural news here today, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture National Agricultural Statistics Service California Crop Progress and Condition Report, average lows for California ranged from 23 to 46 degrees in the mountains last week, 31 to 70 in the desert, 37 to 58 degrees along the coast, and 43 to 60 degrees in the Central Valley. Average highs for the state range from 46 to 70 in the mountains, 55 to 91 along the coast, 68 to 88 in the Central Valley, and 70 to 97 in the desert. From the California Department of Water Resources, snowpack water content in the Northern Sierra was 6.70 inches compared to 5.50 inches this date last year. Central Sierra was 9.50 inches compared to 8.30 inches this date last year. Southern Sierra was 4 inches compared to 3.10 inches this date last year. California DWR CIMIS stations recorded 1,359 chill hours at Gerber, 1,264 chill hours at Williams, 1,341 chill hours at Holt, 1,608 chill hours at Merced, and 1,337 chill hours at Fresno, 1,124 chill hours at Arvin. Some stone fruit orchards continue to be thinned and irrigated where necessary. Early stone fruit varieties were being harvested. Cherries were showing color and inspections for harvest began. Apricots, apples, pears, peaches, plums, nectarines, and prunes continued to develop. Grape vineyards were setting fruit and vines were tied. Kiwi bloom continued. Persimmon, pomegranate, and quince trees are steadily developing. Oranges were being juiced due to lasting effects of the various weather conditions. Valencia navel oranges, tangelo, grapefruit, lemon, and mandarin harvests were well underway. Some harvests were slowing down due to rising temperatures. Seedless tangerine groves remain netted to prevent cross-pollination during bloom. Olive trees were pushed out for new plantings. Strawberry and blueberry harvest continued. Almond and walnut and pistachio leaf out was going on. Nut development continued. In Colusa, Sacramento, and Solano County, transplanted tomato fields went smoothly and had interruptions to asparagus harvest due to cooler weather. In San Mateo County, sweet potatoes, onions, and tomatoes were planted. Artichokes and oregano were harvested. In Sutter County, tomato plantings have begun. In Tulare County, leaf lettuce was picked and sold at local stands. Onions were available for harvest. Spring vegetable plantings were staggered to allow for harvesting efficiencies. Todd Sanders, executive director of the California Apple Commission, said he expects more market competition for California and other U.S. apple producers this year. That's because Poland, which historically shipped a significant amount of its crop to Russia, will be looking for alternative markets due to new sanctions against Russia. He said he thinks more Polish apples will show up in markets that currently buy California apples, putting more pressure on those markets. Now our apples are going to have to find new homes, according to Sanders. He said we'll be displacing someone else or vice versa. It's just a huge snowball effect. Poland remains the largest apple producer in the European Union and the world's number three producer after China and the United States. Other significant players include Turkey and India, according to the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. Though Polish apples do not currently have market access to the U.S. because a formal pest risk assessment has never been conducted, Poland has been included in the EU's request for expanded market access to the U.S., according to the U.S. Apple Commission. The Department of Viticulture and Enology at the University of California, Davis will be celebrating the academic career of Andy Walker on May 19th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. with a seminar in his honor at the UC Davis Conference Center. The general theme of the day will be the past, present, and future of viticulture and grape breeding. Speakers will address many different parts of the viticulture and grape breeding continuum, things from grape culture collection to the evolution of grape breeding to grapevine physiology. The cost to attend is $150. That does include breakfast, lunch, and a reception. For more information, log on to wineserver.ucdavis.edu. The California Department of Agriculture Secretary Karen Ross recently joined Denmark's Food and Agriculture and Fisheries Minister Rasmus Prehn at the Stanford Mansion in Sacramento to commemorate in person their 2021 virtual signing of a Memorandum of Understanding on Sustainable Dairy Production. Secretary Ross said dairy is the leading agricultural commodity in the state by value of production. They have a goal of reducing methane emissions by 40% from 2013 by the year 2030, 8 short years away, and collaboration and the sharing of information are critical to meeting the goals. Denmark's partnership only strengthens the opportunity to meet and exceed goals in methane reduction and further sustainable dairy production.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, delivering value to growers and handlers with advocacy, research programs, and walnut promotions. Doing more together.
Tree nuts continue to see global export opportunities for its products, mainly almond, pistachio, and walnut. In walnut, as in almond and pistachio too, India continues to be the front runner for the country with the best product growth potential. California Walnut Commission Assistant International Marketing Director Claire Lee highlighted why the second largest country by population is an opportunity for California walnuts to shine.
India is a great potential for us. You know, they have 1.3 billion consumers in India, just a little bit less than China itself. The middle class is very young, they're very educated, they're health conscious, you know, and they're largely vegetarian. So it's perfect for walnuts, perfect for California walnuts, right? And so it has great potential. Also, the consumption is very low. There isn't a big consumption of walnuts, right? And so with such a big population, with such a big middle class, we have so much room for growth.
One barrier to growth that is being experienced comes in the form of tariffs. In the last few years, the Indian government increased trade levies on walnuts from 30.9% to 100% for both in-shell and shelled walnuts. In retaliation to Section 232 tariffs, India added another 20% to in-shell walnuts from the United States, placing those duties at a 120% rate. Since 2014, California walnuts had been seeing positive growth in India since the U.S. was allowed to enter that market. India's walnut production is not sufficient to meet that demand, so it needs to import, but the tariffs have significantly slowed the market growth there.
All origins going into India face 100%, and the reason they face that 100% is the Indian government is trying to protect their own growing regions. So they make it difficult for other countries to import into India. But there's such a need and such a desire for walnuts in India, even the 100%, the countries are still importing. Now, unfortunately, with the U.S., we have an additional 20% on top of that. So we have 120% going into India. And so that's our challenge we're facing right now. But we know there's potential there. And if we could just even get on that same level playing field right. as everybody else, it would go a long way. The goal for the tariff, of course, is zero, right? We all want to be to zero, but that's not going to happen. So yeah, getting first step, baby steps, right? Let's get rid of that 20% so we can get there. And, you know, and we work through the USTR, USDA, you know, we talk to them all the time, letting them know our challenges. So they're top of mind with them when they go into these, you know, trade meetings, they'll remember walnuts and that we need to get that removed.
Other emerging markets include specific countries in the Middle East.
So our focus right now is actually on the UAE. You know, there's only 10 million people in the UAE, a lot are expats, but it's also a major hub, right? The UAE feeds the rest of the Middle East. And so we have a program there right now, trade, consumer, and healthcare professionals.
One concern for the industry is rising competition over the last few years. Lee said that there are specific countries that are starting to produce a lot more walnuts.
You know, China produces the most walnuts. Right now, we still lead in world trade, but China is not only produces walnuts, it's now starting to export a lot more walnuts. And unfortunately, they're planting more trees, they are improving their quality, and they're very aggressive with their pricing. They're going to be a major force in the market going forward. So we're seeing a ton of competition from China. Chile has always been a big competitor of ours as well. But they're contra-seasonal, right? So there's always seemed to be room for them. They go in the market in the summer, and we come in, you know, in the fall. So, yeah, there's a lot of competition for walnuts in our international markets.
Being a member of the California walnut industry means working together to advance the industry through advocacy, research programs, and promoting walnuts with smart, cost-effective marketing. Learn more at walnuts.org.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
Ukraine has accused Russia of stealing its grain in areas that Russian forces occupy, a charge that, if true, increases the threat to global food security. As if the threat of a global food shortage from Russia's war on Ukraine wasn't bad enough, now there's Ukraine's charge that Russia is stealing its grain. Minnesota Republican Betty McCullen sits on the House Ag Committee.
I believe, from what I've read, we're at the greatest risk with our global supply since World War II.
Reuters News reported Ukraine opened a criminal case into charges that Russian soldiers on April 26 took away 61 tons of grain from an ag enterprise in southern Ukraine. Russia says it has no information about it. Dave Samuelson is the senior director of congressional relations with the American Farm Bureau Federation.
If this is happening, takes this grain out of world supply. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Who knows where it'll end up, but you know, Ukraine has been such a large exporter of grain.
The world's fourth largest last year at almost 45 million tons, much of it going to the Middle East and Africa. McCullen has more information.
Africa imports huge percentage of its food from Russia and Ukraine, and it's being hit especially hard. Wheat prices are up by 60%. Fertilizer shortages could cut food production by almost 20%.
United Nations estimates that about 1.7 billion people may face poverty and hunger due to food disruptions from the war.
This feeds into a national security crisis for the United States when there's so much civil strife going on, especially for access to food.
Cullen chairs the House Appropriations Defense Subcommittee. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture is mum right now on Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack's view about $500 million in an aid package of Ukraine to support production agriculture. Typically, when the White House announces a major priority, such as a $33 billion international aid package, cabinet secretaries issue statements and fact sheets about their role in the administration's agenda, often with a bit of praise for the president added in for good measure. Since the White House first rolled out its proposal to boost marketing loan rates for certain crops on April 28th, USDA's key leaders, including Vilsack, have remained silent. USDA press secretaries also did not respond to questions from DTN about the aid package. And when it comes to cotton planting progress, Brad Rippey, USDA meteorologist, has an update.
Cotton, 16% planted by May 1st, 1 percentage point ahead of the five-year average, 1 point ahead of this time a year ago. We now see at least some cotton planting progress in 14 of the 15 major production states. And in the drought-stricken Southwest, things are really moving quickly. 95% of the cotton planted in California by May 1st. Five-year average is only 59%. Also off to the races in Arizona, 71% planted, 62% on average. The only state with no cotton acreage planted yet is Oklahoma, 0% versus 8% on average. That may be a reflection of some of the drought conditions, producers concerned about dry conditions in the cotton belt in Oklahoma.
The American Farm Bureau Federation and Farm Credit are looking for entrepreneurs to apply online for the 2023 American Farm Bureau Federation Ag Innovation Challenge. This national business competition, now in its ninth year, showcases U.S. startup companies developing innovative solutions to challenges faced by America's farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. Farm Bureau is offering $165,000 in startup funds throughout the competition. The deadline is extended until May 13th. The 10 semifinalist teams get announced on September 13th. Each semifinalist team gets $10,000 and a chance to compete to advance to the final round. The final four teams compete to win the Farm Bureau Ag Innovation Challenge Award worth a total of $50,000. The Ag Innovation Challenge runner-up will also get an award total of $20,000, and all of the 10 semifinalists compete for the People's Choice Award. Examples of past challenge winners, as well as eligibility guidelines and the competition timeline, are online at fb.org/challenge. The April edition of the Rural Main Street Index dropped somewhat from a healthy reading in March, but remained above growth neutral. April's reading was 62, down from the March index of 65.4. An index reading of 50 is growth neutral. Dr. Ernie Goss of Creighton University says the index has been in growth territory for 17 straight months.
So the overall reading for the month of April was down for the month, but still in pretty good growth territory. The agriculture sector continues to move along, and that's pulling the rural areas of these states up, still looking pretty good.
Rural bankers don't seem optimistic that the Biden administration's move to relax summer restrictions on E15 will have a major impact on the ag economy.
Well, only 4 of 10 think it will have a positive impact. Obviously, the other 6 of 10 either expected a negative impact or no impact. That's somewhat expected, although this part of the nation depends heavily on ethanol, certain parts, particularly in Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Minnesota. But it's only for 1 year. It's temporary. That's one factor. And secondly, you've got a lot of service stations out there that do not have the ability to provide that for their customers. So we still see some impediments to the expansion of ethanol. And of course, the lack of certainty from the federal government in terms of blending levels with fuel, that also is a real problem and causes uncertainty and lack of any real positive attitude toward this year's emergency executive order by the president.
Goss says that rural bankers are worried about rising inflation, making it more costly to do business.
Early on, the bankers expect a 50 basis point increase by the Federal Reserve to quell inflationary pressures. That increase will come on May the 4th. So on May the 5th, the prime interest rate will go up by 50 basis points or a half percentage point. That will drive loan costs for farmers out there up higher, those in terms of operating expenses. And this is tacked on to other increases in operating expenses, for example, fertilizer costs, natural gas prices, insecticide prices. So the farmer is experienced some fairly significant upturns in the cost of operations, and that includes interest rates because of the inflationary pressures.
Bankers appear to be less optimistic about the immediate future.
Our confidence index, which gauges economic conditions 6 months out, dropped to its lowest level since the beginning of the pandemic in the spring of 2020. Of course, what's happening there is just the Russian invasion of the Ukraine and also what's going on in China. The lockdowns in China, that's telegraphed quickly back to this part of the country because of exports. Exports are important to China, and this, of course, is not positive for the outlook for exports to China.
Again, Dr. Ernie Goss of Creighton University.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
California's continuing drought has prompted massive water cutbacks, forcing farmers in many parts of the state to reduce planted acreage. But businesses that serve farmers, such as aerial applicators, often called crop dusters, also are being hit hard. Rick Richter, who operates Richter Aviation near Maxwell, is one of those feeling the pain. Richter Aviation serves mostly rice growers in and around Maxwell from early April through about mid-August. Normally this time of year, they'd be joined by other pilots, and the skies in the northern Sacramento Valley would be filled with yellow planes tending to fields. 2 years ago, the state's rice producers planted more than 500,000 acres. In 2021, the planted rice acres had dropped to a little more than 400,000. This year, the USDA has predicted California rice farmers will plant about 348,000 acres, but unofficial estimates put it significantly lower.
In our normal year, we're getting here at between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning, mainly around 5:30. Pilots show up and we give them their orders, what fields we want them to start on first. And when they get those jobs done, why, they'll call on the radio and we'll let them know where to go next. And we'll either text them a job or have somebody take the job order to them at the field. But it's a hectic pace when we're right in the middle of the rice season, unlike this year. But last year, and I'll give you some stats, my wife told me yesterday, we were at 19,000 acres planted on May 1st last year. This year, we're on 600 acres May 1st.
Of the seven planes in their fleet, Richter said they plan to fly just one this season because of the reduced acreage. He's also had to lay off four pilots as well as two other full-timers and 20 part-timers. As Richter described it, it's going to be ugly up here.
You know, we're about 95% rice here at Richter Aviation, which is unusual. There's some row crops in the valley. They don't use a lot of aerial application like tomatoes. You know, maybe they'll do one application of insecticide, but the trees are mainly taken over in our area, walnuts and almonds. And unless it's a wet spring, you don't see a whole lot of aerially applied chemicals or crop protection materials to the walnuts and the almonds. You know, we're pretty fortunate here. We only go about 15 miles north and 15 miles south, about 8 miles west and maybe 15 miles to the east. So not very far, really. My old saying is, if you can't stand on the top of your hangar and see your airplane working, you're not making money. Just thinking that, you know, if your equipment gets too far away from your home base, you're spending too much time away and you should concentrate on getting closer. We've got seven airplanes that have been annual for this year, two radial engines and five turbines. This year, we're going to use one turbine airplane. And that'll cover the 6,000 acres that we're anticipating for this year, which is very, very, you know, low in comparison to the 42,000 acres we did last year.
Richter's son, Nick, also an ag pilot, plans to work in the Midwest this season spraying crops. He's not the only Sacramento Valley pilot taking their planes outside the state. A number of others plan to work in Texas in the Midwest. But as Rick Richter said, they need to be able to make the payments on their planes and will go where the work is.
He is going to the Midwest, to Indiana and Illinois, right on the border there, and work for an aerial applicator back there. But he's got to make a living, you know, and he can't do it on 6,000 acres of rice here at home. So he wants to take the airplane back there. And I agreed. It was his idea. We've got to make the payment on the big airplane anyway. So we found an operator back there that was willing to take us on. And actually, they're looking for more airplanes and pilots. So there's chances and opportunities. And I understand there's others in the valley that are going back there this year. What he needs to do personally is he has to pass the Illinois Department of Pesticide Regulation test as well as Indiana. And he's taken both of those online already. And he's certified to go back there and fly.
Richter has worked through other droughts, but he said this one really hits hard because of the minuscule water allocations many of the large Sacramento Valley water districts have made.
It's a big difference. The last time we had the drought, we got down to like 50% water allocations, which, you know, that was bearable. We could do that. But this year, they got down to 7% on the largest district here in our area. And we've just never seen allocations this low. And it really surprised me because I thought we'd be at about 50% this year, seeing what we had last year and what ended up in the reservoir, Shasta Reservoir. But lo and behold, they came out with a even smaller percentage. I think it was around 18% of their allocation, which would amount to about 7 acres out of 100 acres for rice. So many of the rice growers just said, well, it's not worth firing up my tractor for 7%. So they sold their water back to the district for the customers or the landowners that have trees. And that's how that went. Another district that we have right here that I'm based in actually went to zero. they couldn't deliver their water, the 18%, because they were afraid it would, too much water would, you know, sub down into the ground before it got here, because their source is about 10 miles away.
Richter recently crunched some numbers about the drought's impact on his operation, and he doesn't like what he sees.
I threw some numbers on a piece of paper this morning just getting ready for this interview, and I was shocked, but it's devastating. We're going to go backwards this year, I think. I hate to say it, but with 6,000 acres, we can't cover our fixed expenses and try to make a living, let alone for myself and my wife. It'll just be a break-even situation at best. With the return on the investment, you know, we're not even getting close.
As part of the federal crop insurance program, rice farmers may opt for something called preventive plant. Those signing up can receive partial payment for fields that weather conditions prevented them from planting. But ancillary businesses, like ag pilots or fertilizer dealers, won't see any of that money.
Well, you see, that doesn't trickle down to us. You know, the grower gets that insurance, and that's as far as it goes. No, we've never seen any sort of assistance from any government program.
Richter said he had a feeling that the current scenario might play out, but he said it's still tough to swallow.
It's a sad fact, but, you know, I knew this day was coming. They've been allocating more and more water to the environmental uses and doing it differently with fish flows and water temperature controls and whatnot. So they're kind of putting agriculture on the back burner instead of on the front burner where it should be, in my opinion. But 50% of our water stored in Shasta Reservoir under the Central Valley Project goes for environmental uses. And I think that's the same case with the State Water Project.
Richter founded Richter Aviation in 1983, but he'd been a pilot before that, flying for other businesses. He's worked during some of the state's previous droughts, but he said this one is the worst he and his family have experienced.
This is the toughest year I've seen. And, you know, the dust hasn't cleared yet, so it could be bad. Who knows? Next year might be even worse. We don't have a crystal ball. We started in 1983 after the 76-77 drought, but I was a pilot back then, and I remember it, but it just didn't hit me like it's doing right now, or my family.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.